So we're carrying on in this series, Marked Man. And tonight we're looking at remarkable teaching. So last week we thought about Jesus' remarkable methods. And before that is remarkable power. Today, remarkable teaching. I'm going to quote back to chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22. It tells us there that the people were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Jesus' teaching was remarkable. It was amazing. It was unique. It was different. And the people were amazed at his teaching because his teaching wasn't just interesting and informative. It was transformative. It had power. People had heard him just speak, and people's lives were transformed, healed, risen from the dead, demons outed. Jesus just spoke and these things happened. And people understood that his words were connected to him. He wasn't using some other source of power to do these miracles. He himself had the power. And they were seeing that his teaching and him were connected. They were a part of a package, if you like. And we know from the book of John, it tells us that Jesus is the Word. He's the Word. He's the living Word of God. So his teaching is remarkable. And we've got an example of his teaching here, the first parable we come across in the book of Mark. Probably one of the most famous, actually. Parable of the sower and the seed, or parable of the seed. What's it about? It's about both the sower and the seed. Not just the sower, but the seed. What happens with the seed? And that's what we're going to look at in detail today. Here we've got this particular type of teaching that Jesus uses, parables. Now, parables were stories or illustrations used to bring across a deep and spiritual point. And sometimes the parables on their own, you wouldn't be able to work out yourself what they meant. So the parables were not always obvious and sometimes required that help to understand them, which is what happens in this passage. Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. He gives them deeper truths, the keys to understanding the kingdom of God. And these parables, like all of Jesus' teaching, they have power. They have the power to evoke a response and a power, if received and understood, to transform lives. And especially this parable, actually, because this parable is Jesus' teaching on his teaching. It's a parable about Jesus' teaching. So Jesus is teaching us about his teaching. Verse 14 tells us that, if you do have your Bibles, you'll see there that the seed there is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. The Word is from Jesus, and it's about Jesus, and the passage is about what we then do with those words, what we do with the words that is the teaching of Jesus. The first thing we need to do is simple, but you've got to really, really do it. It's verse 9. In verse 9, it says this, well, Jesus says this, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. That's what these are for, right? That's what the ears are for, to hear. But what is Jesus saying? Right? He's basically saying, you really got to listen, and listen good to what I'm saying. You really have to take on board what I'm saying. The words that I have power if you truly receive them, if you truly hear them. Now, not just listen to them, but truly hear them, and in such a way that rather than they come in one ear and go out the other ear, you receive them in such a way that they are like a seed that's planted right inside of you, that takes root and it begins to grow. For his words to bring that transformation, for those words to change us, to bring about spiritual growth, lead us actually to him and heaven, and lead us to our lives making a difference and being fruitful and having this crop, which you read about in verse 20, we need to really hear. We really need to take them on board. They need to go, as it were, in. Well, we talk about hearing and going in, but let's look at another illustration. What about eating? You go to a restaurant, and you sit in that restaurant at a table, and you see others around you eating this wonderful food, and every time the waiters go in and out the kitchen doors, this waft comes from the kitchen and it smells amazing. It looks amazing. But you sit there for an hour and you don't eat a thing. And then afterwards, you, on the way home with some other people who did eat something, you're happy to talk about it, but all you know is a bit about the food. You haven't actually tasted it. And then, as you're going home, where everybody else is quite satisfied, I feel great, I'm full up, your stomach starts telling you you're hungry, it's rumbling. In fact, you end up being almost in pain. You've had no benefit. You've not benefited from that food that you could have. You've missed the benefit. And without you eating that food, it doesn't actually do anything to you. It doesn't change you. It doesn't give you any energy or anything like that. Just seeing it and hearing about it, you have to take it in. Now, it might be that having been to that restaurant, you're thinking, next time I'm definitely going to eat. And you go back, and this time you do, and that's great. And that's maybe illustrating church. You know, it's fine to come and enjoy the singing and maybe sort of listen to what's being said. Maybe even talk about it afterwards with others. But until you personally receive it, until you personally believe it, it's not going to change your life. Other than maybe encouraging you to come back another time and keep listening. But we need individually to receive that word, to take it in. And if we don't, it doesn't make a difference. So how do we hear then? How do we hear in such a way that it's going to make a difference and bring about that change and bring about that crop that verse 20 is talking about? Well, let me suggest we have to hear with our heart as well as our head. We hear with our ears, but we take it in our head, so we're hearing at that level. But we need to hear at a heart level. And in many ways, the soils that we come across could be connected to the heart. You know, is your heart hard? Is it hard? Are you not letting that seed penetrate in, like the path? Or is it shallow? You're not taking it that seriously. The path, the seed landed on some soil which was, there's rocks underneath, and it didn't get very far. Or is it that you're, even now you're thinking about, actually, I've got so much to do this week, or I want this in life, and those things take away the word that even you're hearing right now, and Satan comes along and brings these weeds up that become more important to you than anything else. So it's about hearing with your heart, and it's about pursuing answers. So if you've got your Bibles again, you see in verse 1, Jesus is talking to a massive crowd. So there's a big crowd of people hearing the parable itself, the story. But come verse 10, what do we find in verse 10? He was alone. Now this massive crowd have dispersed. And Jesus has only told this story, and he's not given any spiritual application. He's not explained what the parable's about. But this crowd of people aren't asking either. But then it says the 12 and the others around him, so there were a few people, they're still with Jesus. Most people had gone. And ironically, it kind of illustrates the whole point this parable is making. Most people don't really listen. Most people don't really give Jesus the time of day. Most people don't ask or seek. And it's only through seeking that you'll find. And so this is so important that we have a hearing heart, that we're open to what God has to say, that we're seeking after him. Because those who seek, it says in the Bible, will find. And that can be you. It's up to us. And what do these few who stay do? So you've got these 12 disciples, and you've got others. It tells us in verse 10, others around him asked him about the parables. They ask questions. They want to know the truth. They want to discover what God has to share with them. They're interested. They're keen to know the truth. And additionally, as this parable illustrates, they're keen to grow. They don't want to stay as they are. They want to change. And they want to be used in God's hand. They want to be people who make a difference. So they want to know, but they also want to grow. And again, is that us? Is that you? Is that you today? As we consider God's word and what he has to say to us. Do we want to know? And do we want it to make a difference so that we grow? As we stated earlier, verse 14 tells us that the seed is the word of God. And the seed doesn't change in this story. The seed continues to be the word of God. What's different in this story is the soil. So the seed is the same. It doesn't change. It has the power. It has the potential to lead to growth. But what makes a difference? The difference is the soil, and the soil is very much, I think, connected to our hearts. And what is the soil? Well, what kind of soil? There's four, and I suppose we have to think, you know, what kind of soil am I? How am I listening? The first one is the pathway. So you've got this stony pathway, this pathway where people are to in and fro in the busyness of life. And you've got Satan, who's like an angry bird, who's hungry, who as soon as he sees the word sown in people's lives, he's like in there straight away trying to take that seed away. He wants us to forget quickly, to not worry about what God's word has to say. So listening and hearing, you know, I made it sound so easy. This is what it is for, isn't it? It's easy. It's not easy because it's a spiritual battle. As soon as God's word's preached and you are in a position where you're hearing it, whatever the context or you're reading yourself, you're in a battle. Satan is trying to steal, snatch that seed away. So it's tough. Next one. Then you've got the rocky ground. So this is people who are happy to hear the Bible, even to say, yeah, I want to be a Christian. But when things get tough, when things aren't going fantastically smoothly or there's difficulties in life, they're like, this is too hard, or where is God? And they give up. The word hasn't really gone deep down. It hasn't really taken root in their lives. Then we have the thorny ground. The thorny ground. They start to grow. That seed that was hidden and couldn't be seen does sprout up, and it's, you see it, it's a plant. But because of the things of this world, they're like weeds. They wrap around that growing plant, and they stop there being ever fruit. It never gets to the point of being there being that crop. There's no results, as it were. They grow into a plant, but there's no fruit. They don't necessarily disappear, but they don't grow either. They never get to that stage of being able to multiply, produce seed that will lead to other seeds and other life. They never reach that stage. But then we've got the fourth one, the good soil. Hear the seed. That's the word of God, remember, goes deep and it grows. And in the end, it leads to a crop, which in turn leads to further crops. Because he says there, you know, it produces a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was originally sown. And so what it's talking about here is, in this parable as well, it's not only about listening, is it? It's about speaking. It's about us reaching that point where we sow. As the word's been sown in our lives, we now sow it in others. The crop leads to more crops. It's following the example of Jesus. He is the sower in the parable. He's the sower. He's the one who sows the word of God. It's his teaching. But then once you've had the word of God sown in your life, the parable then is saying you go from being a soil to a crop. And as a crop, you then become a sower. We can't force the parable to say everything we want it to say in a pictorial way, but it's all there. That you, as a crop, become a sower. The good soil leads to a single seed growing to have a head of seeds that are then sown in the lives of others. That's what seeds do, isn't it? So a single seed grows into a plant, and if you think about wheat, it has a head of corn, and a head of wheat, and all those within that is a load of little seeds. And those seeds can then actually be either eaten, or they can be planted again and lead to more seeds. And they can grow, and then there's more seeds. And they can be planted again, and then they grow, and they can be planted again, and then more seeds. And on and on and on it goes. You see what Jesus is saying? Times 30, times 60, times 100. That seed, that tiny little seed, can lead to more seeds, which are planted in others' lives, in other soil, which grows to another crop, which leads to another crop, to another crop. And it goes on, and it goes on. You get the picture. Jesus, in this parable, is the sower, but so are we. The seed is the word of God. We're the soil, but we, from the soil, become the plant, and from the plant, we become the sower as well. So yeah, the passage is really about, many ways, listening to the word of God, hearing the word of God, but it's also about sharing the word of God. And obviously, that's going to be hard work. This picture here is of farmers. This picture is a sower who goes out in the field planting seed and then having to reap it as well and maybe water it and all those different things that a farmer does. Maybe you've never seen yourself as a farmer, But as a Christian, that's what this passage is telling us. We're to be farmers. And obviously that involves hard work. You've got to work hard for there to be a harvest. But the work that is ours, the work that corresponds to us, is simply the sowing. And here, if you think about the sower, he sows generously. You know, people are like, why did he even bother sowing on the path? Well, he's not just, it's not accidental, I don't think. It's not just that he's foolish either. He's just generous. He's just throwing the seed everywhere. He's not making a decision beforehand over what's going to grow and what's not. And that's for us to do as well, to sow generously the word of God. It's not down to us to make a decision over, oh, this person's going to respond and that person's not. No, we don't know. We don't know the soil. He encourages us to sow generously. At the same time, what happens with that seed, we don't know what's going to happen to it. It's out of our control, in fact. We need to leave that to God. Only as time passes and that seed which is under the soil starts growing up and poking its head out of the soil do we know what that soil's like. And only even after some time do we see the fruit. The Bible says, by their fruits you will know them in time. But that's God's work. I mean, again, this seed, it's just so small, isn't it? But Jesus is saying, in that seed, in that word that you sow, that you share with other people, is the potential, is the power for life and growth. And that's illustrated in the second seed parable. So let me just remind you of it. It's called the parable of the growing seed. It was read verses 26 to 29. Maybe I'll read it again. This is what the kingdom of God is like. So he's talking about how the kingdom of God spreads. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the air. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. You know, again, this picture is saying if you're that's good soil that's led to being a plant that's got seed, you're now to be a sower. And that involves hard work, but God makes the seed grow. He gives the sun, he gives the rain, he makes the plant grow. And although it may look so small, every year, without fail, seeds grow into crops. In that seed is life. In there is everything that's needed with God's power for it to grow into life. Into crops that grow big. And then the third parable tells us how big. Okay, so the parable of the mustard seed, verses 30 to 32. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable, what picture shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So think of that, again, that tiny little seed. In the other parable, the birds came along and just pecked and took away. It becomes a tree that birds can sit in and find shade. A tiny mustard seed, that tiny seed can grow into a great tree. And this is what Jesus is saying about his word, and he's saying about the growth of the kingdom. Just think about it. Jesus, when he left this earth, he entrusted his word, the seed, with 11 guys who, even when we talked about him calling them, we heard they were not the people necessarily that you would choose to change the world. Simple guys. I mean, he left the word with those 11 and some others, that minuscule mustard seed, and now it's a massive tree. There are 2.2 billion people in the world who say they're Christians. 300 million of them would describe themselves as evangelical. That's believing God's word in its entirety. In this country, we talk about the church in decline, but actually recently you probably heard about this. I think it was The Guardian had an article saying all the churches in the UK that are growing are all churches that believe, guess what, in the seed, in the word of God, and are preaching the word of God. Those churches, they're growing. And that's a non-Christian newspaper telling us that. That's what's happening. Jesus says in Mark here, chapter 4, 26 and 30, the kingdom of God is like this. It may seem small and insignificant, God's word, and people may seem to not really care about hearing it or receiving it, but actually it's taking root in people's lives. It's changing people, and it's leading to a harvest. That's where it's heading, a great harvest. So I think these three parables together give us a bit of a realistic view of things. When you think of the parable of the sower, it might give us a slightly pessimistic view that tells us and makes us ready and realize that when we sow the word of God, lots of people are not going to listen. The word's going to be snatched away. The things of this world are going to be more important to people than the word of God. However, it does tell us that there is good soil. There is good soil, and people are going to respond. And the farmer sowed generously. He didn't know what the response was going to be. In the end, that's down to God. But in the end, there is this harvest. So some will reject, some will fall away, some will never grow, but others will. And Jesus wants us to have a global vision, I think. That's the point of the three parables. It may be tough where you're at. It may be that not many people are listening where we're at. But God looks at the big harvest. We tend to talk, you've probably heard it said, but we tend to talk about working your mission field or things like that. And so we think about our mission field in a sort of local area or amongst a particular people. And it might be that it seems really tough. But here in this parable, it's like one field. God sees the big picture. When he comes again and there's going to be a final harvest, he's looking at the big picture. And that's the big picture we get from the other parables, isn't it? The seed that grows into a great tree. There is going to be a harvest. And God sees the big picture. It's his mission field. And just to help us understand what I'm trying to say, just think about a couple of countries. Firstly, China. China. In just 100 years, which isn't loads when you think about the fact that the word's been sown throughout the world for the last 2,000 years. In the last 100 years, Christians in China have gone from about 15,000 to nearly 150 million. Last Saturday, I don't know if anyone saw this, the Daily Telegraph, it reported that China was on course to be the most Christian nation on earth within the next 15 years. And this is a country that in the 1950s, they got rid of all the missionaries. They kicked them all out. Said, you can't sow the word of God. You can't preach the word of God. Just like it happened in Acts when they put the guys in prison and said, you can't preach. And, well, see what happens. So the most Christian nation in the world, potentially in the next 10, 15 years, is China, a nation that tried to stop the word of God spreading. We witnessed it, some of us, some of the young people, Jeff, Silv, myself, in India as well, just how keen young people were to respond to that word that was preached, that word that was shared. Many, just in a very short few days, many responding to the word of God as they heard it preached in India. The soil, when looked at worldwide, it gives a crop. There's a crop. We may sow generously here in Abbey Wood, and we might do that for many years, and we might see one or two shoots spring up. But that part, that person, that one or two people, they'll be part of this big crop who's going to bring glory and praise to God. And they may be one of those people as well who leads to a harvest or a crop of 30 or 60 or 100. So we may get discouraged. We may think that people aren't listening or people aren't responding. But that one person who responds may be used of God to reach many others. We don't know. Maybe we get the privilege sometimes of hearing of people who have had the word of God sown in their life. And there's a crop. But a few years ago, I think it was probably about 10 years ago, maybe slightly more, I was visiting another church in Welling. I was going there to preach, and I was also going there to share about it. So it's more than 10 years ago, probably 15 years ago. share about the work I was involved in Spain, doing mission work there. And just before the service, I met this guy and we got chatting, and I realized that this was a guy who, when I was 7 years old, came to the Slade Church, and we had 7 to 11s then, it was called Gospel Service. He came to, and he did picture board a bit like the guy Steve does down in Woolwich on a Saturday. And he used this picture board, these paintings, to tell us about Jesus Christ, the gospel, and how I was a sinner. I needed to put my trust in Jesus Christ to be a child of God, and he would forgive me of all my sins, and I'd become one of his. And that night, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ personally. I put my trust in him. And this guy, I should have done the maths, how many years later? At least 20 years later, I'm meeting this guy, and he's in tears when he realizes that he was the one who preached and I was the one who responded. Because in 20 years, no, he said in all his time of preaching that word, whether it was to churches, whether it was young people, whether it's like Steve out in the street, he'd never, ever heard of anyone ever becoming a Christian until that night when I told him about myself and about what God had done in my life. We don't know. We don't know. Maybe we will never find out, like that guy did, that his work did lead to life and to a harvest. But we press on. We get that word out. And that word has the potential, the seed, the word of God has the potential for life and growth. But we leave that with God. It has the potential to lead to this thing in verse 20, a crop of 30, 60, or even 100. Let's think of those of people. People who come to get eternal life. People who come to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. People who come to be also sowers of the seed to others. Well, it starts with, as we said at the beginning, and with this we close again. Not speaking, that's what we then do once we've received. But it starts again with hearing. So let's just finish again reflecting on hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. Are you listening? Are you hearing God speak? Which soil are you going to be? God wants us obviously to be the good soil, to receive it, receive the seed, let it grow, take root in our lives, let him nurture it by his spirit, so that we get to that point where we're also people who share it. And that leads to further life and growth in others. As we think about Jesus, the sower of the seed, that's exactly what he's done for us, isn't it? He went out sowing generously. It's our last song, actually. He went to search in order to rescue, in order to save, to bring light and life to those people who are in darkness. And he calls us to do likewise. So as we sing this final song, if you guys want to come and lead us, let's think about that. Let's think about the wonder of what he's done for us. But also think about our response to that. Firstly, a response of receiving. And secondly, if we've already done that, how about following his example and being a sower and a seeker of lost souls as well?